This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get more on the series from Zach Harper from The Athletic. He's on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Don't forget the Bounce newsletter as well. Hi, Zach. How are you?
Excellent. How are you guys doing?
Hi, Zach.
We're good. I'm a little worried about the Cavaliers tonight. I'm not going to lie. These injuries, especially after game one, hurting a team that really went through the entire season injury-free.
Yeah, I mean, I think the injuries are concerning. Obviously, you know, they did okay without Darius Garland at the end of the Heat series, but that was the Heat, right? That was a broken Heat team that wasn't very good and it was pretty ready to check out at the end there. And this Pacers team has been one of the best teams in the league since the turn of the calendar year. And obviously you guys mentioned the Mobley and Hunter injuries. I would expect those guys to play, but I guess you never know. But yeah, this Pacers team's no joke.
Were you surprised at the way they came out in game one? What I was maybe more surprised about, Zach, Cavs kind of, you know, took that hit, came back, took the lead, and then the Pacers pulled away late on the road in game one. That to me was the concern if you're the Cavs.
Yeah, I wasn't surprised that the Pacers played the way they did. I think I was surprised at the way that the Cavs didn't respond after the Pacers kind of came back at them, right? I thought the Cavs, you know, we've seen them, especially in those games against Boston this year, and it was something that we didn't really see in the previous couple of years. We, you know, they would make a run, they would have some resilience, but they didn't really have that extra push most of the time when they kind of got pushed back, and they had that this year. That resilience and that extra wave of, you know, whether it was three-pointers or just attacking, it was always there. They didn't really seem to have that. And I don't know if that was because Garland wasn't around. I don't know if that was just, you know, the three-point shooting wasn't clicking for them. But they didn't really have that. And that was the shocking thing to me. I thought we were going to have an amazing back and forth to end that. And they didn't wilt, but they seemed to run out of bullets there. That, to me, that they didn't have that final, you know, kind of shootout with the Pacers, that was the shocking thing to me.
If the Cavs are this banged up tonight, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see. How do they beat the Pacers, especially after the way they looked the other night?
I mean, they really have to slow things down. You know, the Pacers are so good at being an opportunistic running team. They you know, run off makes. You know, like they don't necessarily. I mean, their defense has been really good in these last, you know, 50 games or so. They've been a top 10 defense, but They were off makes. They were off anything. They were off made free throws. Like they're a team that, you know, they're not, you know, just recklessly running, but they're so quick and so opportunistic with how they push ahead. And a lot of that's Tyrese Haliburton, but a lot of it's, you know, TJ McConnell gets up the floor. Aaron Nesmith will throw it up the floor. Like they're just a very smart team with how they kind of survey everything and get it up there. And so I think if you can kind of slow things down, I think the Cavs, if they just get back to that ball movement on offense, and we know they're going to knock down shots. This is the best 3-point shooting team in the league this year. They're going to knock down shots. They're going to find that back, but they've got to, when they slow things down, they've got to get that perimeter defense back, because to me, that was the biggest problem in game one. I saw a lot of people kind of pushing back saying, oh, the Pacers aren't going to shoot like that the whole series. If the Cavs keep playing defense like that, they will. Because that to me was just thought they looked so disorganized in a way that we haven't seen them most of this year.
Zach, it was weird to me. A team that shared the ball so beautifully during the regular season, shared shots, had two guards take 50 shots. And
yeah.
It was so out of character from what they did all season, and it's the kind of stuff that got J.B. Bickerstaff fired last year. I was surprised.
Yeah, I was surprised too. I think some of that was maybe a little panic, you know, when the shots aren't falling and it's guys saying, all right, I got to take over. And I understand that on some level, especially with Donovan. I think he took the onus of – he seemed to take the onus in that game of like, all right, I'm the star. We don't have Darius. Like, I gotta make something happen here. And at times he did, and then at times the shots just didn't fall. And then I think, you know, Indiana had a pretty good game plan of covering the other guys. And you know, if you look at Tyrese Haliburton in front of you, not the best defender. I know he made some plays, you know, late in that fourth quarter and came out on top with that. But I also think, you know, Indiana kind of tricked him into it of like, hey, there are these guards in front of you that you don't think of as good defenders. Go attack them and had the help. And they tricked, you know, Ty Jerome and Donovan Mitchell into taking 50 shots.
The whole thing here is, and I think it's really interesting that we watch all these home teams lose in the first round, in the first game of the second round. Your thoughts on that, you know, OKC last night. I just think it's bizarre that happened, and maybe it's not that great to be the number one seed.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny that, we saw Boston Boston, another team kind of like how the Cavs have been built, you know, over the last couple of years, and especially with the way that they changed things and they became such a heavy three-point shooting team. You know, Boston is obviously kind of the standard for what everyone's mimicking this year based on their championship. They missed 45 threes last night. 45. I mean, they shot like – they took a 20-point lead and then shot, I think, 29% from the field the rest of the way. Jason Tatum – looked like he was just practicing step back jumpers instead of actually trying to play basketball in the fourth quarter. Like I don't even care if the Celtics win or lose. I was screaming at my TV. Just play basketball. Like I couldn't believe what he was doing. And then the Thunder, I mean, I don't know if that was a bad strategy or if it's just, you know, Jokic is a monster and there's nothing you can do when he's going for 40 and 20. But yeah, I think it shows you, you know, home court advantage is good, and I think it's better for later in the series. If you get into a tight game five, you get into a tight game seven. But a lot of these guys aren't worried about that first game. They want to come out there and set the tone. And it's on the home team to, if they lose that game one, that game three now, when they go back, you got to win game two. You can't go down 0-2. But that game three now becomes so important. Of you got to snatch that home court advantage back. If you can't do that, you really put yourself at a disadvantage.
Zach Harper joining us from The Athletic. The Boston Celtics have just shot threes. Well, they shot them all the way to an NBA championship. Okay, so we know that happened. But last night they're missing like crazy. The Cavs were missing in game one, took a lot. Are the analytics so strong, Zach, that they just scream, keep shooting, rather than try something else? Because teams just seem to keep shooting and not try something else.
It's interesting. So, like, this is one of the arguments I have about analytics. Like, I am pro-analytics to a degree, right? Like, analytics say get the most efficient shot. Like, I always try to replace it with the word efficiency, right? So the most efficient shot is a shot at the rim. And then you want to get like the corner threes and you want to get free throws. Like those are the most efficient ways to score, right? So you can get shots at the rim. Teams should take that more than anything, except for some reason on fast breaks, we just run to the 3-point line instead of going to the rim. And that drives me crazy. I don't know what's going on there.
I'm with you.
Yeah, like there's part of it where I find it fascinating because I do think there's like for the best players in the league and like the really good shooters, because you're 0 for 10, you shouldn't have the mentality that the next one's going to miss. You shouldn't be afraid to take that shot. At the same time, I don't know, you might want to go get a layup. You might want to go get a close shot. You might want to go get a free throw, right? You might want to see the ball go through the hoop. So it's this like kind of like contradictory, you know, thought process of you do need to see the ball go through the hoop in some way. you know, steal the ball from the ref during a timeout and go make a layup or something. I don't know what you got to do, but yeah, like, you got to go find an easy bucket to just get that rhythm back, and then maybe start working your way back out to the three-point line. But yeah, I mean, we've seen that with Boston before the championship, right? In the years before, if that shot's not falling for them, they don't really have a plan B. Mm-mm. I don't know what they do, but like, when that shot's not falling for them, they don't have that. I thought we saw, you know, a change in the Cavs this year, but at least in game one, when that shot wasn't falling, they didn't really seem to have another plan.
I'm sure Kenny Atkinson would rather be coach of the playoffs rather than NBA coach of the year after picking up that award today. But can you just kind of reflect back on what he was able to do? And I do find it ironic that J.B. Bickerstaff ended up coming in second, the former Cavs coach.
It's kind of a funny story, right?
Yeah.
you fire him, and I didn't think J.B. deserved to be fired. I mean, I it's weird because, like, if you don't think he should be the coach, then and you think there's a better coach, then you fire the guy, right? Like, that's just how the business works. Yeah. I didn't think JB was the problem, is what I should say. Mm-hmm. I didn't think he was the reason that they lost, but whatever. You don't want him to coach, then he's not the coach anymore. And then he went to Detroit and did a phenomenal job putting that Pistons team as the sixth seed, and not even the sixth seed as default. Like, that was a legitimately good team in Detroit. And then Kenny came in, and I mean, it wasn't just – oh, this team is winning games. I mean, he changed that offense. He put, like, intricate cutting systems and passing systems into a team that really wasn't playing basketball that way, and it changed them, and it made them historically good. I mean, I think they're the only team in history to win, like, three different 12-game win streaks in a season, mm-hmm. right? I think that was a stat. Like, I mean, they were amazing this year, and to take a group of guys and you know, they changed a little bit, right? They changed a little bit with a couple of acquisitions, but that was pretty much the same team as the previous 2 years, and make them look completely different, and make them buy into it, make Donovan buy into to sacrificing, you know, his personal stuff. And not that he's a selfish guy, but that's, you know, that deep into a career to convince a guy to do it is not easy. And I mean, he did an incredible job, absolutely incredible job.
Zach, last night in game one, Knicks and Celtics, and we talked about the three-pointers from Boston. It looked like the Knicks were a team that knew exactly what they wanted to do and how they wanted to do it. And I wonder, can they do that three more times and knock Boston out of this thing?
Oh, man. I don't expect Boston to shoot like that again.
I don't either.
You know, and maybe that's foolish, but you know, I know, you know, New York was celebrating. They wanted to, you know, throw it back in everyone's face. You know, everyone was talking about the record that New York had against the Thunder and the Cavs in Boston during the regular season and everything. To me, I still look at that matchup and everything New York is vulnerable at, Boston excels at exploiting, you know, and we saw that in the first, I don't know, like 30 minutes of that game. I mean, they were up 20. They were up 20 like pretty easily. And that was without shooting all that well. And then they really went cold, and we saw how that went. But I think if Boston even shoots reasonably well, they win that series. If they shoot the way that they're supposed to shoot, they're going to obliterate them in that series. And so I maybe they can disrupt it. I do think their defense was pretty solid last night during that cold streak for Boston. I don't want to say it was all just bad shooting. I think their defense was good. I think their plan was pretty decent. But I just, man, I don't expect Boston to shoot that way. But, you know, if Kristaps is sick and isn't able to be full strength, and, you know, we know Drew and Jaylen have been banged up, and you never know what Tatum's going to do in terms of decision making. And maybe there's a chance New York is the Cinderella here.
We just don't want it to be New York and Indiana while we're sitting in these seats. I can just tell you that. let me just throw this at you. The Cavs, despite being beat up right now, win tonight against Indiana if they what?
I think just if they tighten up that perimeter defense, I think if you tighten up the perimeter defense, that, you know, I expect the shots to fall for Cleveland. They're at home. Like, I actually think Cleveland, like, wins not easily, but like pretty soundly, like 10, 11 points. Like, I think Cleveland is going to bounce back. I think it's more about what they do in Indiana in games 3 and 4, but I think they'll tighten up that perimeter defense. They'll still be able to, I'm assuming Mobley plays, so they'll still be able to, you know, protect the paint with Jarrett and Evan, and I think they're going to do a great job, you know, kind of walling off the rim and everything, and Indiana really does attack the rim extremely well, but if you can cut off the paint, still protect the perimeter, which we know Cleveland has done a pretty good job of all year. I think they win this game and don't have to worry too much about it. Indiana's going to make runs, but Cleveland's really good at weathering those runs.
Zach, thank you so much. Reading in the Athletic, the Bounce newsletter, all those good things, and we appreciate your time.
Anytime. Thanks, guys.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Zach Harper from the Athletic joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We are not going to know an injury update till the 5 o'clock hour, so make sure you're listening to Afternoon Drive and you'll get that news immediately on what the status is for Evan Mobley, for DeAndre Hunter, for Darius Garland. Will they play or will they not play, and how will that affect tonight's game? Plus, Zach Harper from The Athletic just joined us, and if you missed any of those, go to the Baskin and Phelps podcast on the Odyssey app, or you can always check us out at 92.3thefan.com. All right, we went to break, Jeff, and I'm starting to think, what if all three of these guys can't play tonight? And here's the scenario that I wonder if you're in on, okay? Donovan Mitchell just putting this whole thing on his back and trying to lift the team to a victory tonight. I mean, he took 30 shots in game one. What's to make you think if you're missing all three of those guys that he won't do that again, or that might not be the game plan for tonight's game? I can see, I mean, obviously, you're going to have to use Isaac Okoro if he's probably going to get more playing time. We've heard three people say that already today. I got to believe Ty Jerome's going to have an opportunity for a bigger impact, even though he played 29 minutes. I don't know if you could have an even bigger impact in the game, but you tell me.
Donovan trying to do it by himself won't do it. I won't get it done.
Okay.
If they have these huge injury issues tonight that we're afraid of.
Yes.
And keep in mind, even if these guys play, they're not going to be 100%. You know, like, will DeAndre be able to grip the basketball properly?
Right.
Will Evan be able to run the floor like he usually runs the floor? Will Darius be able to run the floor? You know, will Darius have any lift at all? Who knows? He can shoot set shots and knock them down, but even if these guys play, they're going to be dealing with things. Dare I pin my hopes on this?
Go for it.
Javonte Green? Jalen Tyson? 6'5", 6'6", matchup with the size on the wings for the Indiana Pacers? Have them slow down some of these guys, maybe score a little bit, take some of the heat off of anybody who might be guarding some of those guys and eat up some, you know, minutes for some of the injured guys, and allow Donovan maybe to have the type of scoring night that we hope that he can have without having to do even more. I would think, and we've heard about the depth of the team. I like Jalen Tyson. I think he's a really intriguing young player.
Well,
who at times has looked good.
I mean, look at his stat line from that double over. I know the end of the season
matter.
I know, but still, he should have a little bit of confidence against it. I mean, he played 46 minutes.
He played against uniforms. He didn't play against the guys in the uniforms.
It's scheme is the same. Give me something here. Give me some reason to be optimistic. Stop being so negative.
No, I'm not. I'm being realistic.
Well, he still had 31 points against them in that last game of the season.
Take what happened in those last, especially the last game. Just throw it out the window.
Okay, I'm going to throw out the game on the 10th, the one where he didn't score, and he only played 8 minutes. I'll throw that game out, and I'll keep the other one where he played 46 minutes.
All right, so Donovan Mitchell spoke a little bit earlier today, gentlemen.
Oh, he did.
Had this to say.
Okay.
Let's put this through the translator and tell me what you think when you hear this.
Biggest thing is we got to stay ready. We've done it all year. Obviously, you know, if they don't play, you know, you're losing a lot of points, a lot of defense, a lot of talent. If they do, we're right back to where we were. But for us, just continue to stay ready. We have faith in everybody in this locker room. We've done it all year. So the biggest thing is just be ready. I always tell guys, prepare for the worst. Prepare that they're not playing so you're mentally locked in and sharp. And if they do, then that's an added bonus. That's how we are locked in for it. And I don't really know how they're actually doing, but, you know, I'm always prepared for the worst and just getting ready. But we have a group that's ready to go. We're ready to go.
All right, I'll put that through the translator.
I only had one line that I didn't believe. That was towards the end, but go ahead.
Combine that with yesterday, Kenny Atkinson calling both Evan Mobley and DeAndre Hunter doubtful.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like they're not playing.
Although he said at the end he didn't know what they were doing.
I don't know what they're doing. Yeah, maybe you do. Maybe that's
are you
why,
calling him a liar?
No, that's why you dwelled
I'm just
on.
Kidding.
That's
I'm
why
just
you
joking.
Dwelled on them not playing in that comment that he just made. What do you think?
I think he's not playing. I don't think those guys are playing. I agree with you. I'm not. I don't think either one of those guys is playing tonight. I don't. Mobley especially. I don't know. I just have this. Although, if you've got a problem with your shooting hand too, why would you want to even? If you have,
because
if you can't control,
because if you're DeAndre Hunter, you can still play defense. You can hurt your thumb, but you can still play defense. And they need some defense.
Does that worry you, what he said?
No. None of it worries me, because I expected it to be a really competitive series.
Yeah.
I think Indiana can win the series. I thought going in, I picked the Cavs, but I thought Indiana could win the series. Indiana doesn't get credit for being a good team. I mentioned last week, time and time again, they're pretty dang good. People didn't want to listen. And I think the Cavs win tonight. Don't ask me why I feel that way.
Even if those three guys are out.
Yeah. I think they do. Don't ask me why. I can't fathom this team that we've heard is so deep all season long losing tonight. I just don't think they will.
Damn.
I mean, if you're missing those three guys, it makes it far more of an uphill climb.
No kidding. But I just don't think they lose tonight. I think they win.
It's
regardless.
It's going to come down to the very simple fact of whomever dictates tempo is the team that's probably going to win this. If this gets into the open floor and Indiana's going up and down off of misses and makes, then it's probably going to get a little ugly.
Well, that's where your coach of the year maybe looks at your rookie and says, Jalen, time to get up and down the floor. Javonte, we brought you in here for games like this where, you know, break glass in case of emergency. Well, it's an emergency. Javonte Green has been in the league good period of time, good size on the wing at 6'5". Maybe. For whatever reason, I can't fathom them losing tonight.
No matter what, no matter who's
playing. I think they win.
I'll ask you the other thing. Who's the best player on the floor? If the best players are on the floor, who's the best?
Donovan Mitchell.
I think so too.
I like Halliburton and I like all those guys, but it's Donovan Mitchell.
Halliburton's really close.
I think Donovan Mitchell's got a little bit on him.
I'm not going to argue with that. Mm-hmm. Tyrese Halliburton's really close.
Halliburton's very good. Don't get me wrong in the slightest.
And if the other guys are out, Halliburton has a much better supporting cast.
But I just like the way that Donovan Mitchell's turned up the defensive dial this season, where Halliburton is still kind of a C- on the defensive end.
Okay.
I don't know. Does Nembhard go 5 for 6 from three again?
No.
Yes. You know why? Unless the Cavs play defense. NBA guys can knock down open shots, fellas. And they had open shots in game one. Does he likely knock down 5 of 6? No, even if they're open. However, they had so many good looks, it was ridiculous. And that's on the Cavs. That's not on Indiana. Indiana didn't do anything it hasn't done all season long, except shoot well. And they've shot well enough. Cavs can't let them have open looks. Simple.
The other question, you know, who were we talking to? Somebody from Indy, one of the four interviews I think we did from Indy, was talking about rebounding.
Is that a shot? Felt like a shot.
No, it's not
sounded
a shot
like
at all.
A shot.
No.
I just thought fun of Indy.
He's making fun of me.
All the guys that we talked to from Indy soft shooed this whole thing. Made me feel like, there's no way the Cavs are going to lose.
Take a shot at St. Elmo's.
Take shots at St. Elmo's. I think we have better steakhouses than St. Elmo's. St. Elmo's is good. I think we have at least one, two, maybe three that are better. I think St. Elmo's is the best in Indianapolis.
You're talking about
what?
Talking about one of my favorite restaurants in America.
Oh, are you taking this personally?
No, I'm just telling you, I really like St. Elmo's.
I can tell you that we have a new place.
You're not doing endorsements yet.
I'm not doing. No, I don't even care. I'm just telling you. Their name is what they are. I'll just leave it at that. Man, place is fantastic.
Taking shots at the sand dunes over there.
No, I'm not
disrespecting sand dunes.
Chris is in Chicago. Chris, what do you got, man?
Andy, you kind of cut out there. Are you talking about the Ponderosa over there on Pleasant Valley Road?
The old one that was on Mayfield. Yeah, that's now a hockey store.
The old Sizzler in Cuyahoga Falls.
Hockey store,
just
want to
throw peanuts on the floor.
Yeah.
All right, guys, real quick. Are the Cavs almost, because we thought it was great during the regular season, are they almost too deep? And the reason I ask that is
too
maybe
deep.
That 8 or, yeah, like maybe like that 7-8 man rotation actually could be better because, like, in the first game, like, Okoro and Wade played. Did they have really good minutes? I mean, it just seemed like they were, I don't know. It's a question that I thought it was an advantage in the regular season. Now I think it might be a disadvantage in the playoffs that they're.
You think they overplayed them in game one then? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know.
Is that what you're saying?
I just don't. I think they should. I don't know. Could they shorten the bench in game one? That's my question. Because going to Okoro and Wade didn't really do anything.
You know what? That's the way they've played all year.
Yeah. Okoro, Wade, and Merrill all had less than 20 minutes.
That's the one thing that I've been a little concerned about is that they would go away from what they did all year. And they did that by having Donovan and Ty Jerome take 50 shots. That's not what this team has done all year.
If it makes you feel better, three out of the four guys that came off the bench were all plus. Ty Jerome was plus 10. Isaac Okoro was plus 3. And DeAndre Hunter is plus 7. That drives Jeff nuts. He's going to make fun of it, and he's wrong.
They were fortunate enough to be on the floor at the right time, Chris.
I've never seen anyone belittle the plus minus the way Jeff does. Does not understand.
I don't dislike it.
As someone that doesn't understand teamwork, that would make sense to me. I get it. I totally understand. Wow.
Well, it's tough to be on a team when you're always carrying somebody.
Yeah, that's fine. My back is itching right now, too. All right, Chris. Thank you. We appreciate you.
Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks. I think Chris is worried. I think a lot of us were. I don't know. Overplayed the bench. I don't know. You had three guys that were less than 20 minutes. Everyone else played more.
How'd you win 64 games?
By playing the way the rotation that he had.
How did Donovan Mitchell make sure everybody else got involved? By not taking 30 shots in a game.
That's what and wasn't that one of the reasons Kenny's coach of the year? He convinced Donovan to dish the ball off a little bit more. Was that not?
He got everybody involved.
Yeah. But tonight, I don't know if that's the way I don't know how they do it. If they're missing three guys, it's going to make things super interesting. All right, we'll take more of your phone calls. The phone line's packed. 216-474-0092. If you're having trouble getting through, let us just keep working it. That's what I would say.